This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." We sing of a holy night because that night was very special to God. He set that night apart to be a night in which everything changed. The eternal God, who is the creator of all, sustainer of all, came into this world in a way that he had never interacted before. He, God the Son, in him, took on human flesh. That is a very radical thing when you think about it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. It was a holy night. And the last few weeks, we've been looking at all different people who were involved in this holy night. We were looking at those who sought the child. This child that was and is, or was at the time, a human child, born of the flesh, born of a woman. But this child was also a royal child, born in the line of David, born king of Israel and king of kings. He was also a divine child, God with us, Emmanuel, the Son of God. And there were many who were seeking that child. The question I have for you tonight is this. In the Christmas story, with all the characters involved, let me ask you, who was the greatest seeker in the Christmas story? Who was the greatest seeker? A few weeks ago, we read of the wise men. Maybe they fit this category of being the greatest seeker. For they were many, many miles away from the land of Israel, and they saw a star in the east, and they sought to follow that star. And they believed that that star would lead them to he who would be born king of the Jews. And they followed and they followed, and they were seeking and seeking and seeking so that they, when they found the child, could worship him. Maybe the wise men were the greatest seekers in the Christmas story. No, they weren't. Well, maybe it was the shepherds. If you remember, when the angels came to the shepherds were told where the child was. And they left everything, and the Bible says they made haste to find that child. In verse 16 of chapter 2 of Luke, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Maybe they would win the award for being the greatest seeker in the Christmas story. No, they don't win that award. Well, it certainly wasn't Herod. We know he was seeking the child as well. But he had the wrong motive. He wanted to bring harm to the child, so he doesn't win the category. And you might be thinking, okay, I know where you're going. It's probably, you know, Mary and Joseph. Because they, in a sense, were seeking to obey God. They were told that this child would be born of a virgin Mary, and she would bear the child conceived of the Holy Spirit, and Joseph heard, and they sought to obey by going to Bethlehem and being the carriers of this child. She would be the carrier of this child, and he would help her and affirm her and protect her and guide her. And when the time came for Mary to give birth to the child, they sought a place of refuge. And they went to a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. They went to a place where they could lay this child in a manger to be safe. They were seeking to honor God. Even after Jesus was born, they sought to protect the child from Herod by fleeing to Egypt for a set period of time. But no, not even they, not even Joseph and the mother of our Lord win the award for being the greatest seeker in the Christmas story. You could say maybe it was Simeon. For the Bible says that Simeon was seeking the child only passively. The Lord revealed to Simeon that he would see the Christ child. And so he faithfully trusted God until his old age, when the day finally came and he said, "Now your servant can depart in peace." No, not Simeon. No, not Anna. They don't win the award. Who was the greatest in the Christmas story? Of all the people involved, of all the characters involved, who wins the award for being the greatest seeker? The answer is found, if you turn with me, to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. In this account, Jesus is walking, and this tax collector Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, sought Jesus. And he, in verse 4, ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." This whole month we've been reading of those who sought, who were seeking. And the one who wins the award is the child himself. That child, Jesus, who came to this world, later on when he grew up, said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason why he was seeking, what he was seeking, was the lost. He, in perfect harmony and perfect union with the Father in glory in eternity past, in their eternal plan, came to this earth to seek the lost. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it something to be grasped to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, there were people who were seeking the child, but they would not have sought the child if the child, in obedience to the Father, did not come to seek the people. And that's true for you. And that's true for me. We would not, for one instance, seek God if it were not for God seeking us. I've been talking about how we have to seek the child, seek the child, seek the child. Well, we wouldn't be there if the child didn't seek us. The child Jesus Christ was given for us, but we would not care nor want that child unless he came to us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. What Paul is saying there, and I believe there's an element of hyperbole, but what he's saying is that we all are lost, we all have turned our backs on God, and unless he had taken the initiative, we would have continued in our rebellion. Think of the mercy and the love of God who came for you and came for me. If God did not initiate the seeking by becoming man in his Son, Jesus, and coming to earth, none of us would have sought him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Jesus taught a parable about how he was willing to leave the 99 to seek the one that had wandered and strayed. And you know there was a point in your time, or you know today is the moment when you realize, I have strayed from God. I didn't follow him. I rebelled. But praise God that the Bible says that he came to seek after you. He wants you to come to the fold. His word is truth that penetrates your hard heart and enlightens you and gives you a sense of a drawing. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And he's drawing you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Seeking to save that which is lost. We know the pull that we are prone to wander. We know that pull, don't we? My wife and I have a little dog. Her name is Ladybug. And in the last few years, we realized that this dog is like a sheep. She actually looks like a sheep. She's white, fluffy. And we let her outside, and we've got a garden area, and sometimes we'll just let her out, and she usually stays put. But we've learned over the years that we either have to have her on a leash, or we have to keep her eye on her at all times. You know why? She is like a sheep and has gone astray. She'll be out there in her backyard and we'll just blink and she's gone. There was one time that she went up the hill that way and we had no idea where we went, and I jump in the truck and Alicia's going that way and we're driving around. She made it all the way to the water tower. And I got out of the truck and I ran up to her and she saw me. She looked at me, I walked up to her, and you know what she did? She turned around and booked it full speed the other way. Because she's a little bit, she's got a loose screw, and she's prone to wander. There was another time that she went up that hill, and we chased her, and Brother Harvey up the hill found her in his yard. There was another time she got loose and she made it across to the elementary school and she was following behind a little girl as she was heading towards school. And I had to run up and catch her before she went into her classes. She's prone to wander. My wife and I and Finney joke that the hymn that represents her is the one that says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the owners I love." We're all like Ladybug, aren't we, in some way? We're all prone to wander, aren't we? We feel the pull, we feel the direction, but the closer we remain to Jesus, the more we are satisfied in Him. And when we wander, I guarantee He will seek after you. He has sought you. It's not that He loses us like He didn't pay attention, but He's after you. He desires you. He wants you. Jesus continues the search through us. Are we seeking after others to come to Christ, allowing God to seek them through us? Jesus was the greatest seeker, for Jesus said He came to seek and save that which was lost. Is something else that Jesus sought? You know that? Turn, if you will, to John chapter 5. We see that Jesus came to seek something besides that which was lost. In John chapter 5, Jesus shares with us what He's after. We'll look up at verse 24, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man." Now look at this, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus came as a seeker to seek not His will, but the will of the Father who sent Him. Jesus sought to do the will of His Father. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 and 7, the Bible says, "Therefore, when He came into the world," that's the celebration of Christmas, brothers and sisters, "when He came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" He came to do the will of the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, "For I have come down from heaven." Jesus came down. Christmas celebration, we're doing this here because Jesus came down from heaven not to do His will, but to do the will of Him who sent me, He said. He came in submission and obedience to the Father to live a perfect, holy life, fulfilling the law, to take on this human flesh, to represent humanity, and to be nailed to a cross, to die for your sins, all in obedience to the Father. You know, there was a time in his humanness. There was a time in his humanness. He says, I don't seek my will, I seek your will, Father. There was a time in his humanness when he told the Heavenly Father that his will wanted the cup of the cross to pass from him. So intense was the struggle that the Bible says he sweat drops of blood. And in that moment, as he thought about dying for your sins and for mine, he remembered that he came not to do his will, but the will of the Father. He said, Father, if by any means this cup should pass from me, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you seek the will of God? Do you seek the will of your Heavenly Father? When you get up tomorrow to celebrate Christmas, is there a place in your thoughts? Is there a place in your heart? Is there a place in your life to say, Father, today, not my will, but yours be done? Do we take time to sit down in quietness, open up our Bibles, open up our hearts, and come before the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will for me today? If Jesus sought to do your will, so do I. Jesus was a seeker. He sought the lost. He sought the will of the Father. And he came to seek something else, which is related, but a little nuanced differently. John chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus shares with us why he came and what he sought after in John chapter 7, verse 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. He was sharing with the Jews that he wasn't speaking on his own authority. He didn't seek after glory for himself separate from the Father. No, he spoke because he sought glory for the Father. He sought to glorify God the Father. And the glory he receives, he sends to the Father. When he was praying before he was crucified, Jesus said this. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus was sharing that before he came to this earth, he had a glory with the Father. And he humbled himself to take on the humility of this earth so that he could share with everyone that they are to glorify the Father. He sought the glory of the Father, and the glory that he received as a result was redirected to glorify the Father. I want to ask you something. Not only do you seek to do the will of God in the sense of God shares with you something he wants you to do, And you say, Lord, I want to do your will. But is it your desire to seek after the glory of God in your life? It's not just, I want to check the box of obedience. It is, I want to make sure that people know that you are special, that you are worthy, that you are glorious, that you are wonderful, that you are almighty. Is that what you seek? Is that what I seek? Not just checking the box of right and wrong, but a deep desire to see God shown through your life in what you do. That's what Jesus gave as the example. And that's what he sought after. Brothers and sisters, I'm sharing with you, despite the beauty and the wonder of the Christmas story, knowing that wise men came from the east to seek the child, despite the wonder of the shepherds seeking the child for what the angels sang, despite the seeking of Joseph and Mary wanting to protect the child, seeking to do the will of God and what he told them, all that beauty is eclipsed and seen in Jesus seeking you, seeking the will of the Father, seeking the glory of God. And that is something that you and I can celebrate this Christmas. I'd like you to bow with me in a word of prayer. And as we pray, I want to ask you a question. Let's come before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I have shared how you came to this world as a babe in a manger to seek and save that which was lost. I ask you, Father, is there in this room someone who is lost? Someone who has not received salvation? Someone who is still in their sin, has not turned from their sin, has not accepted the gospel as the only means of eternal life? If there's someone here that's lost, I pray, Father, you would show them that you died for their sins, that you came to bring them everlasting life. And I pray, Father, that they would call on your name, turn from sin, and receive the gift of everlasting life. There are a lot of gifts going to be exchanged tomorrow. The greatest gift ever given was when you gave yourself in Jesus to the world. For all of us here, Heavenly Father, I pray that in the days to come, we are going to be seeking many things, Father. I know it. We're going to be seeking work and we're going to be seeking stability. We're going to be seeking good times, a good life, seeking joy with our families and memories to be made. We're going to be seeking happiness, and we're going to be seeking all different things. And I pray we would remember that you sought us. I pray that above all we would seek you. Thank you, Father God, for the gift of Jesus. We pray these things in his name.